Now, it is a really historic time here in Australia. Just recently, we've had the Marriage Equality Bill pass, and queer and trans issues are more now than ever coming to the forefront of Australian culture. So, you know, it's a question that has been raised as well. Is it now time for us to rethink how we define these communities? This is certainly the position of Dennis Altman, Professorial Fellow in Human Security, who we have on the line with us now. Dennis, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Morning, Tess.
So how do you believe it is that ideas about LGBTIQ identity have become confused?
Can we go back to what I actually thought I was writing and where the article begins, which is to say that desire and identity are not the same thing, which means that people have a whole range of feelings about their sexuality and their gender identity that doesn't necessarily fit into a particular identity category. There are lots of people who have homosexual desires and may never act on them and would be shocked to be considered part of an LGBT community. Equally, there are people who have strong gay identities who may be celibate. So that was really essentially what I was arguing, that we have to be much more careful in how we link together behaviour, identity and experience.
And so I guess the way that we currently link these behaviours and experience, how is this confusing for people who may not fit into these, I guess, boxes that we want to put people in?
Well, I think that it leads to a very narrow assumption about sexual and gender identity that overlooks the fact that they can vary over time, that people can move between a number of different senses of who they are, and I personally would want to encourage that. Now, I think the problem then with the LGBTIQA+, whatever the current most popular idiom is that it brings together a whole set of different types of identities. So it links together sexuality and gender expression. Sometimes they're connected, sometimes they're not. Someone being trans does not necessarily tell us anything about whether they are homosexual or heterosexual, or indeed whether those terms make any sense if you see gender as totally fluid.
So I suppose when we do go about referring to these communities, should we have separate acronyms, or is there another solution that you would propose?
I think one of the things we have to stop talking about communities, as if somehow you could tack community onto every adjective that we had available. So sometimes you will see references to the heterosexual community, for example, which seems to me the clearest example of misuse of the term. I think that it's much more useful. If we're talking about communities, let's be specific and talk about people who have a genuine sense of commonality. Sometimes there will be, as I think there was around the marriage debate, a community. And I would, if I were talking about it, talk about the queer community, because that allows for a range of how people understand themselves. Other times, we're not talking about communities at all. We're just talking about a group of behaviours that people may have in common, but does not create necessarily any genuine community.
And so I guess moving forward, you know, the whole idea of LGBTIQA+ is quite ingrained in society. You know, at the moment, people will refer to whole different sections of, you know, people as that acronym. How do we go about changing this?
I don't know that we have to go about changing it. I mean, all I would want to do is get people to think about what the letters stand for. And I was fascinated when you just read out the list and you included the plus, because in a sense, if we start including the plus, it's not clear who isn't included. So that, in effect, what began as an attempt to define a specific group ends up being something that is so broad that it could in fact include everybody in the world, in which case it has no meaning at all.
It's an interesting point because I know there is a lot of sort of debate around whether or not to include the plus. So I hadn't actually considered that. You know, I guess if you have the plus, it can include pretty much, as you said, everyone.
Well, indeed, and I have the same problem with allies. You know, I've been in meetings in central Melbourne or Sydney where people say LGBTIQ and allies. There's virtually nobody left. Now, this may be, there may be moments when it's useful to say we're all in this together, but if you start trying to define a community so broadly that virtually nobody's left out, you've actually made it a pretty meaningless a sense of identity. I think sometimes people want a very specific sense of identity. I think sometimes people need ways of indicating alliances. But I think the real point, and Sam, I don't think the real point is what words we use. I think the real point is to think about the ways in which sexuality and gender are fluid, are changeable, and there isn't an easy way of conglomerating a whole set of different human experiences into one phrase.
It is an incredibly interesting point, and I think that's a really solid note to end on. Dennis, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Sure, good to talk to you, Tess.
That was Dennis Altman, Professorial Fellow in Human Security, chatting with us this morning about, you know, how we do go about identifying people who may